Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16 and beginning with verse 1. And they took their journey from Elam, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came out to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, where we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gathered daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At evening then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, Say unto the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness. And behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard their murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. It was a remarkable, wonderful, marvelous way how that the Lord God led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Most of you know the nine plagues were there to destroy all the different gods of the Egyptians. Then the Lord God had the tenth plague. You remember it well, as you've read about it, how that the blood was applied on the top of the door and on the sides. And that's what the angel of the Lord looked for, or the Lord looked for, I should say. And he looked for the blood. And then, in a marvelous, remarkable way, they went out. Now, what I think is great about it, that when they left the land, when they started to go, God gave them a gift. What a tremendous gift it was. It was a gift that was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That gift that God gave them, it was a guide for them. It was a light for them. It was a covering for them. It was tremendous because of the fact the covering helped them during the heat, how that it would be a shade for them. It spoke to them, the Lord spoke to them from that cloud, and the great thing is that that cloud never left them till they got to the promised land. Now, fellows and girls and men and women, it's the same thing with us. The moment that we apply the blood, the moment we're saved and we're under the blood, we get the gift. What is the gift for us? The gift is the Spirit of God that dwells within. And if the Spirit of God does not dwell within you, then you are not a child of God. Let me remind you that the Spirit of God is a guide for us. The Spirit of God gives us light on the way. The Spirit of God is a covering for us because it's our protection. He has promised to protect us as well. It's also the Spirit of God that will speak to us as we read the Word of God. It's the Spirit of God that will stay with us for the whole entire journey until we reach our promised land. What a great thing that, like the children of Israel, we too have that gift. Well, the children of Israel got in to the land, as I said, in a remarkable way as they crossed over the Red Sea. But Moses, who had led them by faith, knew that it was God that was going to have to take care of them. He knew that he couldn't take care of them, and one of the concerns, I'm sure, for Moses was, how am I going to feed this crowd? Conservatively estimated, there were 2 million people that came out, and as those people began to travel, it wasn't long, and they began to murmur and complain. The supplies that they brought ran out quickly, and then they began to complain to Moses. Most interesting to notice in their complaint, as they spoke there and said, as they lied, because that's exactly what they did when they complained, they lied. For the first lie that they told is that we sat by the flesh pots. No way did they sit. They didn't have time to sit. They were under strong bondage. They were under labor. And then the next thing that they lied about is they said, we ate to the full. No, my friends, if you go back to the time when they were in Egypt, they did not eat to their full, and neither did they sit down and enjoy things because they are under those taskmasters. Well, nevertheless, we find that the Lord responded to Moses about their murmurings. And what God said he was going to do is he was going to rain down brimstone and fire. That's what they deserved. No. What God said he was going to rain down from heaven was bread. What they deserved, was fire and brimstone. But God, in his mercy and grace, we find that what he did is he rained down bread from heaven. Now, it's most interesting as we look at that, we find out, first of all, that this bread that came down, they called it manna, which means, what is it? What is it? And it came down right to where they were. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, we know from John chapter 1 that he is the Word of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Yes, it's the picture of the Word of God. It's a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice the first thing about the fact of this here bread. When God rained it down, it came down from heaven, a product of heaven, just like the Lord is a product of heaven. He came from above. And notice where it came to is right where they were, right outside of their tent doors. There it was. When the dew was upon the ground, there was the manna. Now, the thing that we notice about it was small in size. You know, my friends, when we look at the Word of God, this book is very small in size. Yes, the Bible is small, but the other thing that we find out about the manna, it was round. And the book, this book, which is speaking of the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ, is complete for all of our needs. Just as the manna was round and small, so we find that the Word of God is round and it's complete. There's no beginning and there's no end. And so it is with the Lord Jesus, so it is with the Word of God. Remember the words of Luke 21, 33 and Matthew 24, verse 35, where it says this, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away." Even after the millennium, after this heaven and this earth is going to pass, the Word of God is going to be forever. Yes, God's Word will be forever. So it's round, it's complete, and also it was white in color. That's most interesting too, because the fact, you see, the fact that it was white in color, it speaks of the purity of the Word of God. God's Word is pure. And so we find also that it was to be eaten. I like that thought because, my friends, just as they were to eat the manna, so we are to eat the Word of God. And we need to do that daily because as you read the instructions, they were to gather it daily. Yes, they were to gather the bread that God rained down daily. Now, here is another thought. They were to gather it in the morning before the sun came up and melted it. Now, I know that some people's mornings start different hours today than others, okay? I mean, your morning may not start until 3 o'clock if you are not going to work until that hour and you have to sleep during the morning, but that's still the morning of your day. And I think the teaching of this whole thing is that before we do anything else, we should have a little quiet time. We should begin to gather. And we need to gather from God's Word the first thing in the morning. Now, I know lots of people will argue about that and say, well, they can't do it in the morning. They're going to have their devotions at night. Well, if that's what you want to do, you just argue with the Lord about it. But I think it's a great thing to start out the day right in the morning with a thought with God. Doesn't have to be a big thing. I think that's what some people don't understand. I always like what happened here a number of years ago. You might remember, I won't mention her name, there was a young girl here. Now she's a married woman in her 50s. But this girl, being attractive and so forth, this fellow said to her that he would like to have a date with her. And so she said to him when he asked for the date, "But where did you read this morning from God's Word?" "Oh," he said, "I was so busy this morning, I didn't have a chance." Well, she said, "If you didn't have time to talk to the Lord, then I don't have time for you." I thought that was marvelous. Listen, that is so good because the fact it really spoke volumes to her, to him rather, and so it is. We need to take time to talk to the Lord. And I trust that each one will do that and talk to the Lord. Now, the other thing, when they gathered, it was work. It was labor. It took time and effort. And so it always takes time and effort when we're going to gather something from God's Word. The other thing that it did is they had to gather it by stooping. Now, when you stoop over, what they were doing is they were humbling themselves. And so it is with us. As we gather from the Word of God, it's a humbling experience. Yes, that we gather, we should be humbled as we are in the presence of the Lord. And they gathered. And then we find that some gathered more, some gathered less. But what they gathered needed to be used. If they didn't use it, it was going to breed worms. They needed to use what they got. And may I say again, it's important for us that when we read, find something from God's Word, then we need to share it with others as well. That's a good thing. And then I think the other thing is it was beyond their understanding, because they said, manna, which means, what is it? And I'm going to say too about the Word of God, that the Word of God is beyond our understanding. But that's where our guide comes into play, the Spirit of God, the gift that we receive. He will help us to understand as we continue to read and look into the Word of God. Now, the next thing that you will notice about this manna is that it was sweet to the taste. Now, that's great, because you know all the Word of God, it gets sweeter as the years go by. And you ought to be able to find a morsel or so in the Word of God that you have enjoyed as you're reading the Word. And then the next thing that I want to say about the manna is that the manna lasted until they reached the promised land. How good it is that the Word of God is going to do that. Now, as I said, conservatively estimated, there was 2 million people that came out of Egypt. And each one that in the morning, they, on an average, some more, some less, but on an average, they were to gather an omer. Now, an omer would be 6 pints. So if you multiply that times 2 million, you have got 12 million pints. Now, someone has translated that into pounds, which would be approximately 9 million pounds. Now, if you want to put that into tons, 9 million pounds, my friends, would be 4,500 tons. That's how much food they gather every day. And to think that the Lord God was raining that down and supplying them. We think we have a big job sometimes when we feed a couple hundred. Here is this amount of food that is coming every day. Now, if we were going to feed that many people, what we would need to do is to have 10 trains. And if we had 10 trains, and each train had 30 cars attached to it, and each car would have 15 tons in it, that's how much you would need every day to feed that crowd. Now, I don't know if that's astronomical to you or not, but it is to me. But that was something that God did every day, just bringing it down from heaven, and there it was. All they had to do was to gather it. Now, you'll remember also as you read this account, because you're familiar with it, that the Lord was not pleased with some of them because of the fact they did not follow the instructions. The instructions was to use what you gathered. And some of them, they didn't do that. They gathered more than they could use. And as a result, it bred worms. Then when it came to Friday, what they were to do is to gather twice as much, because on Saturday, which is the Sabbath day, there was not going to come any down. Now, God, in a miraculous way, made it very clear to them that if you prepare it on Friday, it will be okay for Saturday. But again, people did not follow the instructions. Now, it's great to notice that, as I said, that it kept coming every day. But as the time went by, what we find that happened was, is they began to murmur again. And the next time they murmured, notice what it says, that they said to Moses, "Our souls loathe this light bread." Now, mind you, my friends, the expression as we find it there in Numbers chapter 21, it says, our souls, not
the body. Oh, listen. This bread was the best thing for their bodies. It was complete for them. But they said, our souls loathed it. They hated it. They despised it. So what did God do? What God did, we find that God sent fiery serpents amongst them. Now they had been traveling in the wilderness all these years, and they had no problem, although the snakes were there. There were plenty of snakes, but what was the job of the cloud is to protect them. Just like the Spirit of God protects us as we go through life. And so we find that they were protected for all this time, and then the snakes came and bit them. Then you'll remember what happened was this, that lo and behold, they cried out to Moses and they said, we have sinned against the Lord. Yes, they knew that they were bitten and that they were dying because of their murmuring about the manna, about this great food that God was sending. Now when they murmured about it, we find that Moses, when he spoke to the Lord said to him, what I want you to do is to make a brazen serpent. Put it up on a pole. Now all of you know this story. And when they put that brazen serpent on the pole, Moses was told to tell the people to look to the pole, to the brazen serpent, and there, if they looked to that, they would be healed. They would have their life restored. Now, we know that story as it's recorded for us there in the book of Numbers. But you see, there's many people, again, that did not do what God asked them to do. You can picture it. What some of them would have done right to begin with, they would have began to fight the snakes. Kill them! Kill the snakes! Kill them! Destroy it! It's just like people today think we ought to clean up the acts round about and get rid of all the sin. But my friends, you're not going to do that. They couldn't possibly get rid of all the snakes. Then you might find, too, that there was people that came and they would use their own ointment, not God's way of just looking. They had their ideas of how they could be healed. Many people would do that. They had their own ointment. There would be other people, too, who would try to help others. Why, they felt that they were doing enough good works by helping all the others round about that they could be healed. But no, there's people today that are doing the same thing. They're trying to get to heaven by doing good works. And then just this year, past week, I had a man that spoke, that was there, that was speaking to me, that his big problem was, is I'm so bad a sinner, God would never save me. You know, there could be people like that, that think, oh, I'm so badly bitten, I can't get saved. I cannot get saved because how bad I am. Or there could be people at the other end of the pole. Oh, I'm not that bad. I'm not bad bitten. I don't have that bad of a bite. And so they didn't look. But oh, that they might look and live. That's the message for each and every one of us, that we would look to the Lord. It says, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Isaiah 45:22. But to move along with this, what happened as the years went by? Let's turn over and we'll read a few portions of a few verses in the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings chapter 18. Now you know, of course, that this story that I just talked about was used by the Lord when he spoke to Nicodemus. For what the Lord Jesus spoke to Nicodemus about was, even as
Even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you remember that story well in John chapter 3, that Nicodemus looked, and he also got eternal life. But let's now turn to 2 Kings chapter 18, beginning with verse 1. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. I want to just stop here, first of all, before we go on, that Hezekiah, he was the son of King Ahaz. And King Ahaz, if you go back, you will find that this king was a wicked, evil king. He also was a king that would have brought up his son with a very poor education, with idolatry and all the rest of it. He did not have what we would call a good background. But again, I like that verse found over in Acts chapter 17, where it tells us this, that God sets the bounds of our habitations. It doesn't make any difference where you've been placed. God will give you opportunities to come to know him. Now, it was a very tough thing for Hezekiah, but Hezekiah, as we just read here, even though he had a very bad background, as we might say, Hezekiah decided that he was going to live for God. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Notice verse 4. He removed the high places. Now, there were two kinds of high places, as you will find in the Old Testament, that there were the high places that were erected for the idolatry. And you'll remember in certain periods of history that the kings came in and removed those high places that were for idols, that were for strange gods. But there was also high places that you will read about in the Word of God that was erected for God. And so these were called high places as well. Exactly what high places he removed all, I'm not sure, but I want to say, my friends, that God allowed the high places to be, even though they were not his idea. You see, God had one way of being worshipped, one way of being remembered. They were to come to the house of God that was established. But the people put up high places, and that's how they wanted to worship God. You can liken that with no trouble at all to the high places that are surrounding us in our nation today. You see, there is only one true church. And the very Word of God that tells us how to get saved is the same Word of God that tells us how we should gather unto the name of the Lord and how we should worship. But we got lots of high places. People are gathering according to man's ideas. Now, there's lots of people in those places that are saved. I'm not saying they're not saved. But again, this morning, as I had my international students with me, it was quite an interesting conversation again as they sat at the Lord's Supper. You see, they're not used to seeing that even though every one of those five were saved. That was very different to them, very educational to them too as well, and gave them something to think about, that here were all these different men that got up and spoke or gave out a hymn or prayed. You see, God has his way, but the trouble is there were lots of high places. But notice what Hezekiah did, and I have to hurry. He removed the high places and broke the images and cut down the groves and make and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made for unto those that Moses had made for unto those days the children of Israel
did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. Now, Nehushtan, if you look that word up, all that means is that it's a piece of brass. You know, it's no different today. Now, I want to be not overly, superly critical here. I hope it doesn't come across that way. But you see, it's the same thing today with many people with the cross. They worship the cross, not the Christ of the cross. They worship the cross. And people take a cross, they wear a cross. I'm not saying that it's not a, that some, I really don't want to be overly critical, but we're not worshiping the cross or the crucifix. What we are to do is to worship the one that was on the cross, the one that was crucified. And so you see, it was no different here. They had this piece of brass that they were worshiping, burning incense to it, and people are doing that today with the cross. They're burning incense to the crucifix or to a cross, and they worship the cross instead of the Christ on the cross. And so Hezekiah, we find that he destroyed it and called it Nehushtan. Now, you see, when we're talking about this, we talk about also the Lord Jesus, who spoke in every one of the Gospels, how that he was the bread of life. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is the bread of life, and he said that. And I want you just to look over into John chapter 6 for just a minute. You can find it in every one of the Gospels, but we'll look for a moment at John chapter 6, where we find that the Lord Jesus was there. And as verse 2 tells us, that there was a great multitude that followed after him. They followed him because of the miracles that he did. They didn't come to him to worship him. It was because of the miracles that he was able to do. And the Lord Jesus, even knowing what he was going to do, he said to the disciples, particularly to Philip he addressed, and he said, "Where can we go and buy bread to feed this multitude?" And Philip said, "Why, Lord, if we even had 200 penny worth, which would be approximately around $30, if we had that much, why, we wouldn't even be able to give each one just a little bite." And so we find that the Lord Jesus knew what he was going to do, but he was questioning them. And what was Philip concerned about? No different than many of our concerns. He was concerned about the cash. How much is it going to cost? He was concerned about the cash. But then we find that there was Andrew, the other disciple, that he came to the Lord with a young lad. And he said, "Lord, this lad has got a lunch of 5 loaves, barley loaves, and 2 fish. But what is that among so many?" So what was his big concern? His concern wasn't the cash. His concern was the crowd. And so I don't know how he brought his lunch. I can't say that for sure. It might have been that his lunch was in a bag. I don't know. But I like to think about it that his lunch was in a box. You know, we used to have box lunches. Many times we've had that, where we have box lunches. And so this young man, he brought his lunch to this man, Andrew. And Andrew, in turn, when he got the lunch, what Andrew did is he brought the lunch or the box right there to the Lord. So we find that the Lord took that, yes, and when the Lord took that lunch from the boy, what he did is he took that, which was 5 loaves and 2 fishes, first of all, the time is going by so fast, first of all, he had the people sit down, yes, by 50s or 100, and then we find what he said to the disciples after you had sit them down, and he gave thanks. for what he got from that box. Why, do you know, as the Lord broke that bread, when he broke it, why, he began to multiply it. So they had all kinds of bread and fish. So what I want to happen here right now, if Alyssa, if you'll come up with your brothers there, and Christopher, if you've got any of your family that's wide awake, and Renee, and also Lori, you send them right up here for a minute. Let's come up here, because what the Lord did is he spoke to his disciples. Now come on right up here, that's right. And when he came up here, how many do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. How many disciples were there? Who can tell me? How many? 12, okay. Well, we don't have 12 disciples here today, so I'm going to have to give you a couple of his 2, okay? All right? So, what he did, what the Lord did, is he gave all the disciples, what was there in the lunch? What was in the lunch? Fish and bread. So, right now, what you're going to do is you're going to pass out the fish and the bread. Can you take this one, Alyssa? Good, okay, with the fish. And here's one here for you, Alyssa, also with the bread. And we'll give you some bread here. You pass out that. And here's one. You start passing out because the people out there have been all day very busy and they were hungry, okay? So, Michaela, you take those and you pass out your fish. Go ahead, you pass that out, okay? That's good. And you pass out some. Here's some fish and bread for you. You pass it out to the people out there that are hungry. Okay? That's good. Okay? And I think there's going to be enough in here even for you. All right? So here's some fish and bread for you. Okay? You got it? That's good. And there's fish. And bread, well, I may be putting too much fish in. Okay, there we are. But I know these people out here, they would rather have the fish than they would the bread. So that's why I'm putting more fish in. So here you are, Christopher. You can pass out this. Good, there's some fish that you're going to pass. You take two here because you're old, okay? And what you got here now, are you ready? Okay. You pass out some of these fish. Make sure that everybody gets some fish because it's been a busy day for everyone. And so here's another basket. So, Gavin, let me see. I think you can be big enough, Gavin, that you can take 2 baskets because how many disciples were there? 12, that's right. So we only have 9 people. So you come back again. And we've got more here. All right. There's some for you. Okay. And here's some for you. Good. Okay. Now, how is the crowd out there doing? Did everybody get fish pretty well?
Yeah.
Did they? All right. Here's some for you. Who's missing the fish? Anybody missing fish? All right, let me hear. Come here. Let me have your basket. Here's some fish for you. Here, you got to take some fish out of this basket for yourself, all right? You take some fish out. How many do you want? Can you eat that many? All right, Michaela, here's some fish for you. You take those fish. You want some bread? Huh? Okay, here's some bread for you too. Everybody take some fish and bread. So they all get some, okay? Put your cups right down here and you get... Pardon? Well, yes, they can get seconds because of that the Lord is good to people, okay? So we're going to do that. And here's some fish. Did everybody get some for themselves? Now leave your cup up here and you get some of your own, all right? Okay? Everybody got it? And then you can take your seat. You take some out of there, some out of the basket, see? Pardon? Go ahead, friend.
You
Okay, take your fish and then you can go and be seated. All right? No, I want the cup. You take the fish. See? All right. And you can take some bread. Here's some bread. Okay, take some bread. All right, there we are. These were very hungry people here. You take some here. Okay. Okay. All right. So in a miraculous, thank you. Now the disciples did a marvelous job, okay? And I was sure the fish would go, okay? All right. So the disciples did a good job and they passed out all that fish and the bread, and there were 12 baskets left over, and they were full. Yes, the baskets were full even after it was done. Now remember that Philip was concerned about the cash. Thank you, Gail. Andrew was concerned about the crowd. But what we find that Christ wanted them to do is be concerned about him, about Christ. And so we find that Jesus said these words, I am the living bread. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of me, he shall live forever. I like that verse also where it says, all that the Father giveth to me will come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I am the bread of life. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Oh, I trust that we might know the joy and the value of feeding upon the Lord. Okay, every eye closed and head bowed. And Chris Copeland, you can close in a word of prayer.